I am eternally grateful for our pastor to allow me this opportunity. Thank you so much. And to the entire ministerial committee, God bless you guys, and thank you for your support. I want to let you guys know, I think I said this before, we get along very well. Because we serve the same God, and his name is Jesus, right? And I don't know about you, no matter where I go, it's good to go and share a word where people believe in the same God that you do. It kind of makes my job just that much easier. Now, before I go, I want to say a few things. I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to do it. It may take about a minute. This is Palm Sunday. And the scripture says that one day, as Jesus and his disciples were getting close to Jerusalem, he said, now, before we go there, I got to do what Zechariah said about me. I have to fulfill the scripture. And this was several hundred years ago before Jesus would come in the flesh. Now, I want you to understand that this Jesus I'm talking about, he was not only the Son of God. Now, check this out. He was God. And guess what? He still is God. And so Jesus says he picked, I think the one scripture says he picked John, Peter and John. He says, now go into the town over there, and you're going to find this colt tied, or this donkey tied up. He said, untie him and bring him to me. Now, that was a miracle in itself. Now, I'm not done yet. He says, now, when you get there, if somebody asks you, what are you doing? Tell them that the Lord have need of him. I think I said that at my mother's funeral when she went home to be with the Lord, and they gave me a minute or two to say something, and I said that the Lord had need of my mother, and he took her to be with him. And when they got there, it was exactly like Jesus told them that it was going to be. Somebody asked him, what are you doing untying the donkey? It's not yours, it's mine. And they said, the master have need of him. And they allowed him to untie him and take him to Jesus. And Jesus got on it, and the Bible said they began to take their clothes off, and they threw it on the donkey. And as he was headed to Jerusalem, the crowd of people began to come around singing, Hosanna, Hosanna! Save us now. And the Bible says someone went over to this palm tree, and they began to cut down small palms, and they put him in the road as he was coming towards them. Some of the crowd ran in front of him singing, Hosanna, Hosanna! And some behind him singing the same song. And then there were these Pharisees. The Bible said they walked over to Jesus and said, hey, tell them to be quiet. You see, they're making too much noise, and we don't want to hear all this noise. Jesus looked them in the eye, I believe, and he said this, if they shut up, the very rocks will begin to cry out. Listen, we don't want the rocks to cry out today, but you can. If God has done something for you, it's okay, you know. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't really need this. But if you hear the truth, it's okay to say amen. Amen. And I always do this. I always like to give people a little test. So, you know, I can see where you're at. Is that okay, Brother Harris? All right. Now, here's a little test. You know, Jesus is Lord. Amen. Okay, you got it. Now, listen, let me, the last time I was up here, I asked a question. I asked you a question, and we were talking about what does it mean to pray in the name of Jesus? What does it mean? And I told you that it's simply this, that we act as his agents. You ever notice when the president of the United States sent a guy to be the diplomat of this country, that country? Whatever that diplomat says, it's as if the president would have been there himself saying the same words. And so you and I, when we pray in the name of Jesus, we're acting as his agents. So what am I saying? I'm saying this, that what we pray, it would have been as if Jesus was praying that same prayer. And what should our motives be behind our prayer? Just one thing, the same thing Jesus used them for, to bring glory and honor to his Father, right? And to God. And therefore, when you pray, your prayer should bring glory and honor to God. Otherwise, you remember that song they made, I'm Not Trying to Hear That, See? Y'all remember that? Remember that one? It was a rap song. And so if you don't pray in a prayer that glorifies God, he ain't trying to hear that. You follow me? And so we need to get in the habit, number one, of praying to God, right? Without prayer, there's no relation or fellowship with God. The relationship may be intact, but the fellowship is going to be raggedy. And so today I want to ask you another question. And I call this my War Room Part 2 message. How many of you guys saw the movie The War Room? Then some of the things I'm going to say is going to bring back some memories to you. this is my war room, part two message. And the question that I'm going to ask you today is, what does it mean to fight your battles on your knees? And how do you do it? What does it mean for us to fight our battles on our knees? The Bible says, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Joshua says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the Lord, the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increased their strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 1, verse 9, he said, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And he said, the Lord has put his words in my mouth. We serve a great God. I'm excited today, and I want you to be excited today, and I want you to keep your spiritual ears open today. Learning how to fight your battles on your knees. And I want to involve you in this message today. I won't be very long. How many of you guys fight your battles on your knees? Just by a show of hand. I need that encouragement today. That's a great thing. There are not too many hands that went up that suggest to me that this is a very timely message. You're going to hear me say something from the Word of God. I'm going to give you a spiritual illustration of what exactly that looks like. If you ever want to know how God expects us to live today, read the Old Testament. If you ever want to know how God deals with people today, read the Old Testament. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity. I pray that you might remove me, that the people might see and hear you, and that you might be glorified. So have your way, Lord. Speak through the lips of clay today. And we'll be ever careful to give you all the praise and all the glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, I want you to do one more thing. I know you've been bouncing up and down a little bit much today, but that's okay. I want you to get your Bibles, and don't ever come to the house of prayer without your sword. You don't want to go into battle defenseless. Bring your sword with you. Stand with me, and I want you to turn to the first book in the New Testament. That's very easy to find. Chapter 26, I want to read a few scriptures in your hearing today to kind of set you up, because Jesus is our perfect example of what it really means or what it really looks like to fight our battles on our knees. Amen. Chapter 26, verse 36 of Matthew. Matthew chapter 26, verse 36, we'll begin there. Are we there? Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray over there. King James says, yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy, grieved. He began to be very grieved. 38 said, then said he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry or stay ye here and watch with me. Now that word watch means stay awake. Now this is God talking here. He's encouraging these three guys. He says, don't go to sleep on me. Stay awake. He was about to pay the sin debt for the world. Verse 39 said, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. I like the way he ends his prayer. He said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. You ever prayed like that? You ever ask God for things like that? This is a prayer, listen to this, that would glorify his Father. And verse 40 said, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them, what? Asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch, stay awake with me 1 hour? Watch, stay awake and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You may be seated. Again, we want to share with you how to fight your battles on your knees. You see, one good reason that we can fight our battles on our knees, check this out. Herbie, nobody can fight against your prayers. You know, it's been said that they took prayer out of the schools. I talked to a lot of mothers that say that, and they have some wayward kids because they've taken prayer out of the school. And my response to those parents is this: they didn't take it out of your home, did they? Huh? Or even when they're in school, who's to say what they're doing or not when they got their, when they're looking up and their mind is on prayer? Bible says, pray without ceasing. So they didn't take it out of our schools. So what's wrong with our kids today in our homes? What's the problem with that? I always tell the men, and I remember speaking messages on Father's Day, and these guys with a lot of sons, I tell them this, the best way for your son to be a man is he has to see a man. Huh? They haven't taken that out of the schools. We got control of a lot of things in our homes, right? It hadn't gotten that bad yet, but be prepared, it's coming. Now, Gethsemane means olive press, and according to scripture, was a lush garden east of the city near the slopes of the Mount of Olives. Jesus often resorted there for peace and quiet. Even God needed to take some rest in the flesh. You see, what he was doing was looking at us. He was saying, as human beings, this is how you need to do it. Every now and then, we need to get away and refresh ourselves, don't we? Jesus did it. It's okay. He sets the examples for us. He took the inner circle as he did in Matthew chapter 17. Remember the transfiguration? He said earlier in that particular chapter, he said, there's some of you here that will not die until you see the Son of Man in all of his glory. Now, those men are dead now. But a week later, he took them onto the Mount of Transfiguration, and there was Peter, James, and John again, that same three men. And all of a sudden, Jesus just lit up. They couldn't stand to look at him. He became so bright. They saw him in all of his glory, just like he had said sometime earlier. And the Bible says, as they went further into the garden, Jesus said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. Now, I don't want you to get the wrong message here. Jesus wasn't trying to be a wimp about this thing. He wasn't sorrowful because he had to die the physical death. Remember, the Bible said, I'm going to say it again in my notes, that's why he came. Huh? But there was something else here that was pressing my God and my Savior to the point that he was grieved in his spirit. So how do you fight your battles? Do you argue? Do you fuss? Do you fight? Or do you pray? Now let me say this to the men while I'm on that. Men, I think the pastor said it earlier. God has called all of you to be the priests, the provider, and the lover in your homes. I think somewhere along the line we've forgotten about that. We don't even pray about that anymore. We just do what we do, don't we? And that's why the world is in the situation it is in today. I always tell people, there's nothing wrong with the world. The world is fine. The Bible said when Jesus made it, you know what he said? He looked around and he said, it's good. It's good. And we need to be on our jobs, man, and do what we know to do is best. And I always say this, if you don't have time to pray, you got more business than God intended for you to have. And young ladies, if your boyfriend or your husband is not here, go home and tell him what I said. And if he get mad at you, tell him to come and see Reverend Smith in the back over there. There you go. Now, for you to fight your battles on your knees, you have to have the right kind of prayer life. You know what I mean? Sometimes you have to wake up in the middle of the night and pray. Man, that's sometimes, even when God gave me this message to say, you know, I wake up in the middle of the night. And I did what Jesus did in Mark chapter 1, verse 35. The Bible says, early in the morning, he got up before it was day and went out to a solitary place. And the scripture says, he prayed. Yeah. What was he praying about? The things that he had to face that following day. Yes. Men, it's okay to pray. And you know what? It's okay to cry. Uh-huh.
My father grew up in that era where men didn't cry. He's 86 years old. And when I lost my grandmother, we went to her funeral. My father stood there. He was just stone-faced. He didn't cry. I looked over at him, and I had to cry for him. He was trained, men don't cry. That's the biggest lie Satan ever put out there. And if we know how he fights, we know how to counteract this guy. You follow me? He's been around for a long time. You don't just be around for a long time and don't know nothing. The Bible says that Jesus knows everything. Then that suggests to me that I need to know something. The Bible says that Jesus can be at the same place at the same time. Then that suggests to me that I need to be somewhere. The Bible says that he's all powerful. You know what that suggests to me, Jim? That I need to have some power. You follow me? And men, we got it. We just don't know how to utilize it. It ain't by doing this. It's by doing this. Jesus knew that the battle he was about to face would be the cross. And he knew that it would take some blood. In Hebrews 9:22, it says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there's no remission." There's no remission. And John 12:27 says, Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this cause or purpose was I born. He was born not to just to die for our sins, but Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5:20, to be our sins. He says, for he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us. Or what's he saying? Father, is there any other way we can accomplish this without being separated? Think about that for a minute and don't take it out of context. You see, he did not want to experience the pain and suffering that everyone who ever dies without him would have to suffer. Wow, that speaks volume to me. Listen, he went through it so you and I wouldn't have to go through it. Being separated from the presence of God. What a terrible thing to have to experience it. But let's guess what? He did it for you. He did it for me. So this was the struggle that he was battling out. He won that battle, and he won it on his knees, crying out to his Father. Now, I didn't finish that particular scripture text in Matthew 26, 36 to 46. It says that he prayed three times. And guess what? It says that he prayed the same prayer three times. I know you heard that, man, once you said it once, you don't have to do it again. If you do it again, that shows you have no faith. Tell somebody to read this particular text of scripture. Jesus prayed three times. But he ended three times like this. If it's your will only, Lord. Yeah. And sometimes we pray, Lord, move you. We get a little pain. Lord, take this pain away. You know, I used to pray like that. But now I'm praying similar to what Jesus said. If I have to go through this, Lord, then your will be done. One thing I know about my God, he never sends me out there alone. And another thing I want you to walk away with today, you know, you'll never find it in the Word of God. If you do, bring it to me. I'm going to throw this away. You notice what he never said? He never says charge. He never puts you and I out there first. He says follow me. So if anything coming at you, guess what? He's going to get it first. That's the type of God I serve. We all have battles. Some of them can be our finances, right? Our jobs, our health, attitude, lust, our temptations. So the issue is, how do you fight your battles? So what I want you to do is answer two questions. We're going to get the answer to two questions today. Number one, why should we fight our battles on our knees? And number two, I'm going to tell you how you do it. Life as you know it is about to change. When you fight your battles on your knees, if practiced, it is one of the most important lessons you will ever learn in your life. And I talked to some of you, and some of you told me, and I won't have you to stand up. Some of you told me you don't pray a lot. You don't pray a lot. That suggests to me maybe you don't pray at all. Huh? So if practice, it's one of the most important lessons you will ever learn in your life. Now, what exactly do we mean when we fight our battles on our knees? Simply this, that you and I come to Jesus on our knees before a holy God, referencing him for who he is, and bringing our requests before him. Yeah. I was talking to my friend Peggy over here. We've been praying for her husband for a load of years. Right, Peggy?
He's been needing a kidney for almost 10 years, somewhere in there, a long time. And God hadn't supplied that kidney to him yet. But guess what? He's still meeting his needs. He's still meeting his needs. I told a story real fast about Jesse Jackson. You know, him and the Pope, they had a golf outing one day. And see, sometimes we tend to miss the miracle that God is doing in our life because we don't see it. Well, Jesse Jackson, it was his turn to hit the ball, and he hit it, and it fell in a small pond of water. Well, he walked on the water, got the ball out, and walked back. And you know what the morning paper said? Jesse can't swim. You see, they missed the miracle of him walking on the water. And sometimes you and I fall in that same situation, don't we? We miss out on the miracle and the blessings that God is doing in our life. And I often say to Peggy, God is still supplying your need. He's still here with us. He's still able to talk, and he's able to do some stuff. Listen to this, and oftentimes we know that the right thing to do is pray, and yet in spite of that, we don't do it, right? We don't do it, do we? Sometimes we feel tired. So just sometimes we just tip God with, Lord, bless me, watch out for my family, provide my needs, and then go on with our day, don't we? Don't we give God some simple prayers like that? And we expect him to work great miracles in our lives? And then wonder why things happen the way they do. Fighting your battles on your knees requires more than that. And parents, when you pray after the day, I want you to do something for me. I'm not going to even ask you to do it for Jesus, which you should be doing it for him. Here's what I want you to do, especially the men. When you pray, pray in front of your children. And then when you pray, pray out loud so they can hear what you say. That's the best way to teach them. You know what I mean? And don't do these little lazy prayers we do often. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And then we go to bed. Get away from those simple prayers. Now, the first question, why should we fight our battles on our knees? It's a biblical pattern. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Right. It's a biblical. Remember, I think it's in Daniel chapter 2, when the king Nebuchadnezzar had this dream. And then he brought all his the Chaldeans, the soothsayers, and the fortune tellers, and he said, listen, I had a dream. I don't know what the dream was about. But I want you to not only interpret the dream, he said, I want you to tell me what my dream was. And they told him, they said, oh, king, live forever. There's nobody in this world that can do that. You got to give us something. He says, no, I won't give you anything, because if I tell you what I dream, then you might lie to me about the interpretation. Daniel was the part of that first group. But Daniel was in that group. And when Daniel heard about it, I love this. Read it, Daniel chapter 2. Daniel went and did the best thing, the thing that you and I should do when we're going through some storms in our lives. Yeah. You know what he did? He went and got his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said, now listen, the king has put out this decree that if we can't not only tell him what he dreamed at night and then interpret the dream, he's going to kill us all. And all our family and everything that we own, he's going to burn it up. You know what he told them? Brothers, pray. And the Bible said Daniel went and prayed, and then a few days later he came back and he said, oh, king, live forever. He said, that request that you required of us, he says, guess what, I got it. And he said, Daniel, are you able to interpret my dream? He said, no. You see, Daniel, I tell people this, Daniel was the only man that I know that never sinned other than Jesus. Now, that ain't true. He was born in sin. Remember that. But there's nothing that the scripture says bad about Daniel. And so Daniel goes to him and he said, no, I can't take that credit. He said, but there's a God in heaven. He reveals the secret thoughts to man. So why should we fight our battles on our knees? Number two, we engage God in our battles. We engage God in our battles, so we are not battling alone. Whew. Man, I'm taking God with me everywhere I go. And when something happens, it's just like when the devil knocks at your door. You know what you could say? Jesus, can you get that? And wouldn't he be shocked? Wouldn't he be shocked when the door is open? All of a sudden, there's Jesus. Huh? You bring the most powerful person into this thing with you. Number three, last but not least, we are to fight them God's way. What do I mean? We have the Holy Spirit to guide us. And Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember what he told his disciples to do before he went back to heaven. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, but ye shall receive what? Power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And he said, you shall be my witnesses.
we fight them God's way, guess what? We win. You know what I'm learning? There's something about getting on your knees and going somewhere private, just you and God. I do that kind of often in my house because it's just me and my wife, Reverend Gay. And a lot of times I wait till she gets out of the room or out of the house. And I go into my little, you know, the old folks said my secret closet. Well, mine is my secret room. And when she's out of the house, because I don't want to do it when she's in the house because she might call 911. And I lay flat down on my floor and I pray to God. And I want to let you know, it's not without tears. You ought to try it sometime. It's just you and God. Nobody can tell you when you have to stop. See, when we come here on Tuesdays to pray, we have a time set. You follow me? But when you go to your secret closet, it's just you and God. And guess what? You can stay as long as you want. It's just you and God. And you focus on the Christ as opposed to the crises in your life. One thing, when you turn it all over to him, it's now, guess what? It's his battle. Brother Harris, is not yours by yourself. It becomes his battles. And guess what? Nobody can fight against your prayers. Philippians 4:6, Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but all things through prayer and supplication. We don't get to go to heaven because we've been good, but because of our relationship with God. Amen? Amen. For all people, God is their creator, but not their father. There's no relationship. There might be some of you in this room today. God is your creator, but he might not be your savior. And later on, the pastor's going to give the invitation. Guess what? This could be your new spiritual birthday. He can move from being your creator to your savior. For all people, God is their creator, but not their father. There's no relationship. Now, the second and last point, and I'll be done. Now, that's my second closing. That's what Baptist ministers do. How do we do it? How do we fight our battles on our knees? Number one, we set aside time alone with God. You set aside some time alone with God. No phones, no radios, no TV. You're talking to God. What else could be more important? I remember going to camp. It was a Camp Sunshine Wind. I was about 12 or 13 years old. It was the first time in my whole life that I went away for a week away from my parents. And I cried every day because I wasn't used to being away from my mom and daddy. But you know what? There was no radios. There were no TVs. There was nothing. And everything was just perfect. Everything was about Jesus. But I remember at the end of that week when I got back on the bus and somebody turned the radio on, I heard about murders and killings and all this stuff. For a whole week, that stuff was absent from my mind. All that week, all those kids, about 150 kids, our focus was on Jesus. No distractions. Number two, listen quietly and expect God to speak to you. You know what I mean? That's what it's all about, y'all. You see, this fast-paced world, it wants all of our time. Not some of our time. Everything, even the dinner I had to cook yesterday for myself, you know what? I did it in about 5 minutes. I cooked my dinner in 5 minutes. Now, if you want to know how I did that, it's a miracle. You can come and ask me later, but I did it in 5 minutes. Number three, I'm sorry, be true. Genuinely praying is talking and listening to God. Number three, there must be repentance. Listen carefully for God's voice. You must be born again. Fully surrender. He's not going any further until you do. You must see everything as coming from him. Why? Because it is his will for you. And guess what? You just can't lose. I want to close with this, if you don't mind. It's a courtroom scene, and all of a sudden, there was this young man. He had to stand before Satan, the prosecuting attorney. But he had some help on his side. He had Jesus, his defense attorney. How many believe that when you got Jesus as your defense attorney, you win every time? And how many of you know that Satan is the liar? He's a liar and the father of all lies. Well, anyway, as this client was sitting there and Jesus was sitting to the left of him, Satan began to rattle off all kind of things that this guy had did. Some of them were true and some of them were not. You see, I believe that the believers have three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And sometimes the devil ain't got nothing to do with what Ben does. Sometimes Ben does because Ben wants to. Huh? But I got that sinful flesh, that sinful nature.
Even though I accepted Christ, I've been saved a long time. You know what? He didn't take it away. It's still there. But I have to keep it suppressed with prayer and the word of God. And Satan began to say, yeah, he did this and he did that. And he took his eyes off Jesus. And Jesus looked over at him and he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He looked back over at Jesus and he began to not listen to what Satan was saying. And all of a sudden, Satan said something that he had actually done. He takes his eyes off Christ again. And he began to worry. And Jesus said in Jeremiah 17:7, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. His focus came back just for a minute. You see, when your focus is on something else, Jesus can't do nothing for you. And in our scripture text today, early on, Jesus had, just before he went to Jerusalem for Palm Sunday, he had just healed two blind men who were on the road. And I like what they said as Jesus was walking and everybody was trying to tell him, hey, man, y'all be quiet. And all of a sudden, Jesus says, bring him here. Boy, that's powerful. And he said, what do you want me to do? I like what they said. They said, Lord, we just want to see. And he opened their eyes. And all of a sudden, for the last and final time, Satan got this guy's attention again. And his focus was off Christ. And Jesus looked at him and he said, do you believe in me? He said, yes, I do. He says, then I'll keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on me. If you trust me. Listen, if you trust Jesus, he can fix the problem for you. I don't want to paint a picture that's not there, but he can make it better for you. You see, he'll give you just what you need. And Jesus raised his hands, and the judge acknowledged him. He says, whosoever will, let him come. Jesus steps up from his chair. He walks up to the judge's bench, and he looks over at the judge. He said, Dad, that's my client. Justice says he deserves death. And justice is right. He said, but Dad, I died for him. And the judge stands and says, son, all forgiven, case dismissed. When you fight your battles on your knees, you win. Father, thank you so much. Thank you for this word. Lord, I pray that it did not fall on deaf ears, but hearing ears. And Lord, you know we've been praying for a while now. I'm praying that if there's somebody here that don't know you yet in the pardons of their sins, that they would do it today before it's too late. One day, Lord, you're going to put a stick in the wheel of time and say, time has been, it won't be anymore. It'll be too late. But now we got time. Let them know that they need to do it today and come down saying, what must I do to be saved? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.